Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Hope you're feeling good. Season 3, episode 38 of What's Eating Kale. I'm Kale.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! It's so good to be Wednesday. It's so good. Got a little snow overnight last night. And I think they're going to embellish the amounts because they were calling for so much snow. It looks like we got about 3 inches. It is a heavy, wet snow, though, so maybe it's compacted. I will tell you that the way it is settling on the trees and tree branches is spectacular. It's beautiful. I watched the Bucks last night, and so disappointing. They lost to the Washington Wizards, who they should not be losing to. I think they've only won 14 games this year. Unbelievable. It was sad to watch kind of the way they watch, the way they lost. It was, Damian Lillard wasn't there, but it just, come on. So many things. I'm not going to get into it. I'm just not. I do have a joke for you today, though. Feeling a little froggy today. And a little bent out of shape. Little like I have a headache that feels like I was drunk last night, but I was not. Perhaps just dehydrated. Hard to say. I have not checked my water levels today, but could be. It's early. I haven't had much water today. So let's get on with the joke though. Okay, let's not worry about me having a haddock. That's what a girlfriend's dad used to call headaches. So I got myself a headache. Seriously, he used to say that. Joke today. I was at a job interview once, and they asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I told them, I think in 5 years we're still going to be using mirrors. Come on. I'm so sad right now. I didn't make all of my grateful notes this morning. I'm running really, really late. I did make one note. I'm grateful for the snow, for the beauty of it. Not for the snow itself. Not loving the snow, but loving the way it looks right now. I'm grateful for being able to do this podcast every morning. I love it. I look forward to it every day. I don't like the days when I'm not prepared. And I got to scramble. I got to get up real early and I got to scramble to get all this stuff together. That was not today. I was pretty prepared for today. So I'm grateful for that. Grateful that some health issues with my mom are, at least for the moment, being monitored and under control, so that's good. She's doing well today. So those are the things I'm grateful for. Just take a minute today. Take some deep breaths and remember what you're grateful for. If you're grateful for a person, make sure you tell them. And then, let's celebrate their birthdays. Time for celebrity birthdays. All right, I got to stop going off on tangents here because all I do is reveal how dumb I am. All right, here we go. We've got Eric Braeden from The Young and the Restless. He's 83 today. Actor Marsha Mason is 82. Wayne Newton is 82, still making a bajillion dollars in Vegas. Tony Orlando of Tony Orlando and Dawn, Tie a Yellow Ribbon. He's 80. Singer Richard Thompson is 75. Curtis Stone, he's the bassist for Highway 101, he's 74. Mick Mars of Motley Crue, 68 years old today. Alec Baldwin is 66 and in lots of trouble. David Hyde Pierce from the first Frasier is 65. Comedian and actor Eddie Murphy, 63 years old today. He's got like 50 children. And he's made like $1 billion at the box office. So he can afford 50 children. He doesn't have 50 children, but he has a lot. Singer-guitarist Mike Ness of Social D, Social Distortion, is 62. Singer Sebastian Bach from Skid Row is 56 today. I can tell you a funny story about him. Jenny Garth, actor from Beverly Hills 90210, is 52. Adam Scott from Severance and Parks and Recreation is 51. Drew Shirley of Switchfoot is 50. Matthew Goody of Downton Abbey and The Good Wife is 46. Kobe Smulders, How I Met Your Mother, he's an actor, or she is, 42 today. Leona Lewis, fine singer, she's 39 today. Amanda Bynes is 38. Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is 37. Haley Kayoko from CSI Cyber is 33. And Sam Kiska of Greta Van Fleet is 25 today. And we've got one more birthday. Maybe the most special birthday. It's Margaret Cerretti's birthday today. Happy birthday, Margaret. She says she's celebrating, or her husband actually says, she's celebrating her 31st anniversary of her 21st birthday. That's a pretty big one. Hubby Andrew says happy birthday and he sends his love. Happy birthday to everybody. If you want to get your birthday on, it's mail at kalegwyn.com. That's M-A-I-L at C-A-L-E-G-U-Y-N. And now let's do entertainment and other non-political headlines. Lots of these today. Holy Toledo. I had to stop taking these down because, I mean, there's just so many of them. There's just so many. And they're big ones. They're not just stories I can say a headline and then not explain. So Shannon Doherty says she's selling all her belongings to fund more quality time with her mom. She was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, as some of you may know, and she's getting rid of all of her material possessions. She said on her podcast, Let's Be Clear, she felt she needed to make changes. She needed to make things clean just in case. I find this to be a little bit of a weird story, by the way. I get to take my mom on vacations because I'll have this extra money lying around, she added. The Beverly Hills 90210 star says she's learning to let go of her material possessions so she can focus on what matters. On Monday's episode of her podcast, Let's Be Clear, she said she opened up about clearing her storage units to get rid of things that no longer brought her joy. She says, the cancer for me has really made me take stock of my life and shift my priorities. And my priority at this moment is my mom, Doherty said, adding that she knew it would be hard on her mother if she died first. The actor said that even though she has high hopes for medical treatments to keep prolonging her life, she felt that she needed to make things clean just in case. So I don't know. There's something weird about this right now, and I don't know why. Honestly, there's just something about Shannon Doherty that I always think that there's something afoot when she's, I don't know. That's horrible of me. I wish her the best. Godspeed. R. Kelly is speaking out. R. Kelly is speaking out about Diddy out the the Sean Diddy Combs allegations. Boy, if you, there's somebody you don't really want coming to your defense. Boy, you know you don't have it as bad as Sean Diddy Combs when R. Kelly is coming to his defense. Even though he's currently locked up in jail for all his own crazy sexual crap, R. Kelly is sharing his thoughts about Diddy and the federal sex trafficking charges or allegations. Speaking to WAC 100... in a phone interview last week, Kelly revealed that he didn't believe any of the allegations lobbied against the bad boy mogul. He also condemned those making fun of the situation and warned that those very same people could find themselves in peril of their own soon. Is he threatening everyone? You see, should I be worried? Oh, I shouldn't say bad things about R. Kelly. I don't think I said anything bad, by the way. I think I just said the truth, but it's funny. Maybe my laughing is the thing that'll push him over the edge. From People, I don't know if you call this People magazine, because I don't know if there is. There might still be a magazine, right? But I get this from People Online. Jay Leno takes heartbreaking action for his wife of 44 years. Jay Leno's lawyer has shared updated information regarding the health of the comedian's wife, Mavis. 2 months after filing for conservatorship over Mavis's estate, new information is coming to light. The decision to file the conservatorship comes after Mavis was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, a disease that causes a slow decline in memory, thinking, and reasoning skills. And now, a new filing by Jay's lawyer has revealed Mavis's mental acuity has gotten worse. In a new filing obtained by People, it revealed that Mavis sometimes doesn't know her husband, Jay, nor the date of her own birth. The filing went on to say that Mavis has a lot of disorientation, will ruminate about her parents who have both passed, her mother passed away over 20 years ago. However, regardless of her health battle, the filing says Mavis is still a delightful person with a charming personality. The filing also refers to Mavis and Jay's 44-year marriage, saying despite her memory loss, their marriage is still long-term, loving, and supportive, adding that Jay remains her protector and she trusts him. People reports that Mavis's neurologist is quoted in the filing as saying, Jay is such a nice man and treats Mavis like gold. The filing adds that Mavis does not object and consents to the conservatorship, according to People. Just a month before the filing, the conservatorship over his wife's estate, Jay Leno talked about being married to Mavis for 44 years in an interview with Piers Morgan. I wish I had a little bit more on that. I wish I could tell you more about what he said to Piers. Steve O said he was asked by Bill Maher to be on a show, but he asked Bill Maher to not smoke during an interview due to his 16 years of sobriety. Steve O claims that Maher refused. So Bill Maher has his HBO or Max special. Real Time? And he's got a podcast. On his podcast, he smokes weed the entire episode. And Steve O said in a recent episode of his Wild Ride podcast that he had to turn down a request to appear on Bill Maher's podcast because Maher allegedly refused not to smoke pot during the interview. The Jackass alum Steve O is a 16-year sobriety guy. Maher's often seen smoking marijuana during his Club Random podcast interviews. Steve O, for his part, says, I'm a clean and sober guy. It's very important to me I maintain my sobriety. It's approaching 16 years. I'm about to be sweet 16. Really, there's nothing I value more than my sobriety. There's nothing more that I protect than my recovery. I found it kind of upsetting when the Bill Maher podcast reached out and he smokes pot the whole time while he interviews people. I said I'd happily go on there, but while I'm on, out of respect for my sobriety, could he refrain from smoking pot? He said no, and that's a deal breaker. Wow. I don't know what I think about. That's a damn fine story right there. Taylor Swift is getting a channel dedicated to her on Sirius XM. The channel will run from April 7th through May 6th, the company said in a statement on Tuesday. It will coincide with the April release of Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department. And because she loves an Easter egg, the 13th day of the channel is the actual April 19th release date of Poets, which is Swift's 11th studio album. According to Sirius XM's statement, Channel 13 on Sirius XM, Taylor's version, will air 24/7 across North America and will be a destination for fans to hear Swift's music from her chart-topping 17-year career, including Eras Tour favorites, all Taylor's versions. from the vault tracks, live tracks, bonus tracks, and much more. Scott Greenstein of Scott Greenstein of Sirius XM, he's the president, chief content officer, called Swift a legend and said her work will be on full display during the channel run. The versatility of Taylor's music on and the phenomenal impact she's had in her career across so many musical genres will be on full display on Channel 13 Taylor's Version. We're all experiencing a legend at work and are so thrilled to work with Taylor to present a one-of-a-kind channel that connects her fans with her extraordinary body of work. It makes me wonder if I'm an artist, there'd be some level at which it'd be, oh, that's an honor that Sirius is giving me a channel. But when it's Taylor Swift, Sirius XM should, if they're working with her, should be honored that, right? Like, isn't that like kind of a weird thing? News is getting long, but I'm going to do one more story. Trump sues Truth Social co-founders, demanding the two Apprentice stars lose their shares. He's filed a lawsuit against Andy Litinsky and Wes Moss, arguing they set up the parent company improperly and should forfeit stock. His suit alleges two co-founders of Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of his Truth Social network, claiming that they set the company up improperly and should lose their stock in the venture. TMTG went public last week, enjoying a remarkable debut on the NASDAQ exchange, with shares trading as high as $78 before plunging a few days later as the company's extraordinary 2023 losses came to light, leading some to warn that the latest example of volatile meme stock offering has little underlying value. Now the Republican presidential candidate has filed a new lawsuit against Andy and Wes, the two former contestants from his reality show, The Apprentice, turned co-founders of the company. Mr. Litinsky and Moss filed a complaint back in February in the Delaware Court of Chancery, seeking to prevent Mr. Trump from taking steps the two said would sharply reduce their combined 8.6% stake in TMGT. The pair claimed that they own the stake through a 2021 agreement Mr. Trump signed with their company, United Atlantic Ventures. And while if you sign a contract and expect that guy to stick to it, you're crazy. I've actually known people who have done business with Trump to say the same thing. Mr. Trump is fighting four criminal indictments and 88 felony charges in four jurisdictions in tandem with his presidential run. His numerous court cases were reported to have cost him $230,000 a day in February. He was also recently forced to place bonds worth $91.6 million and $175 million in order to appeal two separate New York civil judgments against him. So, I don't know nothing's going to happen to that guy. You and I'd be in jail for the rest of our lives for any of the things that he did. Not that guy. Diddy's in more trouble than him. Yeah, he probably should be, perhaps. All right, moving on to the good news. The good news. So this man discovers attic filled with looted art from the Battle of Okinawa. And I've always thought about that. I was always like, what if I... I've only had really newer houses, so I'm not going to find, well, unless somebody had it, right, and they were storing it, probably not going to find, you know, the lost gold of some thing or anything like that, but wouldn't it be cool to find some historic, cool thing? this guy in Massachusetts, and I apologize, I'm going to cough here for a second, 1 minute. Okay, hopefully that's better. Last year, a Massachusetts resident and his family were going through the personal effects of a deceased grandfather and happened to come across a very large collection of very valuable Asian art. The FBI Art Crimes Unit from Boston received a complaint in January 2023 for the family saying that the grandfather was a World War II veteran, but never served in the Pacific Theater. I don't know if that can't be part of the complaint. I think the complaint was, hey, we found all this stuff. That was part of the backstory, I suppose. This is from the Good News Network, by the way, and I'm reading it, so I apologize. There were some pottery pieces. There was an ancient map, said a special agent, Jeffrey Kelly, the art coordinator for the Boston office, who added that the family did their own research and determined that it was at least the scrolls had been entered about 20 years ago in the FBI's National Stolen Art File. In total, the FBI recovered 22 artifacts, 6 painted scrolls from the 18th centuries, from the 18th and 19th centuries, 3 of which were one piece and appear to have been divided into 3 pieces, a hand-drawn map of Okinawa dating back to the 19th century, and various pieces of pottery, ceramics, and metalwork. An unsigned typewritten letter was also found with the artifacts that helped confirm they were looted in the last days of World War II during the Battle of Okinawa. When taken together, they really represent a substantial piece of Okinawan history, said Kelly. The FBI transported the artifacts from Massachusetts to the Smithsonian Institute National Museum of Asian Art in Washington, D.C., where the scrolls were unfurled for the first time in many years, revealing portraits of Okinawan royalty in vivid reds, golds, and blue accents. A nation's cultural identity is really summed up in the artifacts and the history, said Kelly. This is what makes a culture, and without it, you're taking away their history. And the surest way to eliminate a culture is to eliminate their past. Aww. So dramatic. So it goes on, and it's amazing that this couple found it and that they were smart. I would be trying to sell it, and then I'd probably go to jail. I'd be like, oh my God, look at this cool stuff. I bet you somebody liked this. Or I'd be the guy who took it to Antiques Roadshow. I'd be like, look at this rug I found. And then they would be like, sir, this is stolen. Yeah. So that's a pretty cool story. I think that always do the right thing. Seriously, I'm a big fan of just, even when it sucks, if you find $1,000 or find a pile of money, you got to try to figure it out. You have to. That'll screw you up for life if you don't. So just, that's my thought. I think a lot of you are like, fuck that, take the money. All right. Time for What's Eating Kale. Today's part 2 of a 3-part series on AI and what we need to be careful for this election season, because there's going to be a lot of deep fakes. So today we're going to talk about laws and regulations that are currently ongoing that you should know are in place so that perhaps you've got some protections. AI remains a gray area for much of the regulation. And by the way, this is from a Mashable article, of which I'm linking to on whatseatingkale.com each of these 3 days. Tomorrow we will talk about, by the way, how to protect yourself and tools you can use to identify AI or deepfakes rather than